A border poll on unity is now more likely than ever, according to the Unionist MP Lady Herman. Here's what she told Garth Gordon on BBC One's The View.
In your opinion, is Brexit imperiling the union?
I am worried about the long-term consequences of Brexit. In my lifetime, I never thought that I would see a border poll. I am now convinced that I probably will see a border poll.
Arlene Foster has said if there was a United Ireland, she would probably leave Northern Ireland. Would you leave?
I'd be staying. I love this country. I've always loved this country. Always loved this country. Jack's buried here. My sister's buried here. My father's buried here. My mother's buried here. I will be buried in the land that I love. I'm not leaving.
Even if it was ruled by Dublin?
Even if it was ruled by Dublin.
030 30 80 55 55 on the phones. Alison Morris from the Irish News and Sam McBride from the Newsletter are with us. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Finney.
Alison, are you surprised to hear this from Lady Sylvia Herman?
Not particularly. I mean, I know that the conversation around a border poll has been increasing, and we know that Brexit is one of those factors, changing demographics being another one. Lady Sylvia Herman, I think she came across very well in that interview. I mean, she's a genuine class act. And I think her answer to what she would do if a border poll ruled in favour of uniting Ireland was probably the correct answer for anyone in her position. Arlene Foster's answer to the question about saying that she would possibly leave, I think angered a lot of unionists. I was told to see a few people the day after Arlene Foster did that Paddy Keilty interview. I was in a taxi, and the taxi driver was from pretty hardline loyalist estate, and he was very angry at it and said, I voted for that woman, and she's saying that she's going to pack up and leave if there's United Ireland because she's got money. I don't have any money. You know, I drive a taxi, my wife doesn't work, and what am I meant to do? She's going to take off and leave us. So I think that for someone who's in a position of leadership in unionism to say, yes, of course, you'll stay, but the fact is that we know a border poll is probably likely maybe in 5 years, possibly, you know, to extend that maybe to 10 years. But Brexit is going to increase that because it's going to change people's attitudes, and economically it'll depend how Brexit pans out. If Brexit is an economic disaster, it's of course going to advance the cause of the calls for a border poll.
Sam, likely in 5 to 10 years, you agree with Alison?
It's pretty dangerous to make any sort of political protection. Pre-addiction these days, with any sort of certainty. I think that the big issue here is Brexit. That is unquestionably something which has brought intense uncertainty to politics. But I think that while in the midst of that uncertainty, it's understandable that a lot of people are reconsidering, are questioning their how they would vote if there was a border poll, whether there should be a border poll. I think if the Brexit process works out with a largely stable situation where there isn't barbed wire at the border, where there's largely free trade between the two parts of the island, it may be that this recedes, but there are so many moving factors here that maybe that does not happen. So I think what there unquestionably is deep uncertainty, and that is something which Lady Herman has reflected and has articulated in the Commons on many occasions. So really, what she is saying is very much, I suppose, in line with what she has said before, and also in line with what her constituents seemed to think. It was a very strongly Remain constituency. So there is deep concern there from what is an overwhelmingly unionist constituency, but a constituency that did not want to leave the European Union.
Do you think, Sam, that there may be some within the DUP who are maybe regretting their decision and their position over Brexit due to the uncertainty that it has caused?
There certainly are people within the DUP who voted Remain and who are looking at this and effectively quietly saying, this is exactly what I expected to happen. Whether there are people who voted Leave within the DUP who are regretting their decision, I'm not sure. I think that certainly from the party's point of view, I think there were some people there who thought they almost had the freedom to do what they believed politically because they didn't expect to win the vote. And there will be no consequence in terms of the arguments that the likes of Mike Nesbitt were making about this destabilising the union after the vote if it went in favour of Brexit. I think there were people in the DUP who genuinely were campaigning were putting enormous effort into trying to get a Brexit vote and genuinely wanted it. There were other people within the DUP who were signed up to Brexit, but I think they were quietly hoping, perhaps, that it actually wouldn't go that way, so they wouldn't
quietly hoping, Sam.
Well, very quietly hoping, it would have to be said, and I mean that might seem a bit odd, but when we look at what has happened to the DUP, of course RHI has happened since then, but an enormous thing which has destabilised Stormont, it has to be said, is Brexit. It may well be that in 3 or 4 years' time we're sitting here and
okay,
it's all worked out, but it's certainly at the moment massively up in the air.
Now, Alison she's pretty much said her point in what she believes 5 to 10 years. Do you think it will happen? And if so, would you put a time frame on it? I know this is completely hypothetical at this point.
In many ways, it's really it's particularly difficult to call because the criteria. Oh,
Sam, get off the fence. Come on. Well, one way or the other, you think yes it will or no it won't.
Essentially, it comes down to whether the government want to call it. So, I mean, it's not something where you can say if we reach a certain threshold, this will happen. The ambiguity in the Northern Ireland Act is such that it really comes down to the judgment of the Secretary of State. Of course, we know that the Secretary of State changes from year to year sometimes. I think the key thing here is that if there was a border poll, and Lady Herman, she alluded to this last night, there is no evidence that it would be won by nationalism. And that, in some ways, makes it even more of an unstable situation, because I think if there was a border poll, if it was actually something which was happening, there would be an incentive on both nationalism and unionism to reach out to the other side. The key people who would decide that would be the other voters. It would be the soft unionists, the soft nationalists, the Alliance, Green Party. That's something which they're not incentivized to do at the moment in the electoral system. So, in a perverse way, I suppose it may be that in a border poll, it actually would be less of a tribal bear pit than we see in assembly elections at the moment.
Alison, do you think in the future the Alliance Party could be even more relevant? Not that I'm saying they are not relevant now, given that their 10% could be critical to a vote down the line.
What Sam said is right. Demographics change and does not necessarily mean there's going to be a United Ireland, because not all nationalists would vote for United Ireland. It all does depend on the economic circumstances of Brexit, because at that point we do have unionists who have maybe businesses across, who have cross-border trade. We have all sorts of other factors that have to be taken in. Lady Silverherman has turned into unionism's only remain voice in Westminster, and she's been attacked quite strongly for that, but has stood her ground. I think what would happen is, and what we've already seen happen, is that if there is going to be a border poll in 5 years, in 10 years, it's up to both sides to reach out. And we've seen that with the change in Sinn Féin leadership to Mary Lou McDonnell, who is much more palatable to soft unionists. And we've also seen it with the change in language. So we're talking about a new Ireland now, not a united Ireland anymore, a new Ireland. And what needs to happen, I think, is where unionism went very wrong in recent years, is they made Northern Ireland a very difficult and unhappy place for nationalists to live. Their opposition to the Irish Language Act, their opposition to lots of other things, taking away the leaf of grant, this constant refuse to move on equality or change issues, it has not helped their cause. So if we are looking at changes and we are looking at a border poll happening in 5 or 10 years' time, the leadership of unionism needs to also reflect as to how they can make nationalists feel that Northern Ireland is a happy and safe and profitable place for them to live. And so far, they haven't done that. So
okay,
they have a job, a body of work ahead.
OK, what do you think this morning when you're listening at home? Lady Herman and her comments there as our unionist MP, our non-DUP unionist MP in Westminster. Do you want a border poll? Is it something that you feel you would like to have your say in, either to settle the argument or indeed to achieve a united Ireland? 0-30-30-80-55-55. Jim in Hillsborough. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Vinny. How are you?
I'm all right. It's Friday. What do you think?
Well, Vinny, wait a minute, I tell you something. And I'm sitting here listening to your programme, and I'd like to think I'm a very fair sort of a man. But, Vinny, wait a minute, I tell you, if you see anybody have voted for united Ireland, their head must be cut.
Why do you say that, Jim?
Well, number one, there's thousands of cars coming out over the border every week, and they're coming down to Marks and Spencers and different places to do their shopping. Now, comes Christmas, they even send bus loads down. No, that's number one.
Well, number two, they maybe just like to go to Marks and to do their shopping.
Yep. Number two, the single farm payment will the millions and millions of pounds every year is paid to farmers, and that's okay with me, that's fair enough. But the thing is, do you think the Free State will take all that on if we go into a United Ireland? And number three is...
Where do you think that single farm payment comes from, Jim?
Well, it comes from... who pays the most money in?
But I understand, but given what's happening with Brexit, do you know what will happen in the future? It essentially comes from Europe. I get what you're saying about the money that goes in to then come back out, but in theory as well, the single farm payment, that money comes from Europe.
Yep, well, but where does it come from? And we're going to have to be very careful here. As you know, Britain is a big payer.
Are you a farmer, Jim?
No, but I would follow the farming. And Britain is a big payer, Vinny. And another thing, Vinny, at this present time, you take the people that's not well in this country, and they're getting the work in, and they get their prescriptions and all.
Yes, for free.
Yes, and their doctors for free.
Yeah, you see your GP for free, that's it.
If we go into the United Ireland, do you think they're going to get all this stuff free?
Well, Jim, that's not necessarily the discussion. And when I say that, what I mean is we're talking about having the poll in the first place. And some people, some unionists might say, let's have the poll. Some nationals might even say, and then perhaps it'll go the way of staying a part of the UK. And then, you know, that argument has been...
And you meet the fishermen in Kilkeel.
But Jim, would you want the poll so you could have your say and say, well, look, this is what I want, and the majority, the democracy will rule?
Yep, I would be no problem with that. But what I was going to say to you, whenever you go up to Kilkeel and see them fishermen heading out and coming in again, and they're not in control of their own waters, there's something badly wrong. Whenever Britain goes out of the common market, Britain's going to have millions of pounds to spend, and there'll be a lot more money coming here, but a lot of people doesn't understand that.
Well, time will tell, Jim. Jim, thank you.
Let me ask you before you go, Vinny. Yes. I want to ask you one question.
Okay.
If there was a police car out tonight on the border, right, on the Northern Ireland border, and they saw a lorry acting very suspicious looking, have they got the right to pull that lorry in?
Are you saying if the... Is a lorry on the south or the north?
No. If the PSNI are out on the border...
What's your point, Jim?
Well, my point is, whenever this here is all sorted out and Brexit, will we still be fit to pull lorries in along the border if they're acting suspicious looking? And my query is that they should be allowed to do that.
Okay, Jim, thank you. Let's go to Jim in West Belfast. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Vinny. Lady Sylvia.
How are you? Go ahead, Jim.
I'm doing the best. But I have to say, at last, a pragmatic voice in unionism, Lady Sylvia Herman has got a spot on, and she has to be commended for raising her head above the parapet and actually saying this here. Because Arlene Foster and her DUP cohorts are delusional. Totally delusional if they think that this isn't a reality. And I'll tell you why. Westminster, the Tory government, Labour government, whoever's holding the reins of power, they couldn't care less about Northern Ireland. We are a millstone round their neck.
Why do you say that?
Well, I'm going to tell you now, if you let me finish. The reason being, history has shown that consecutive British governments, whether it be Tory or Labour, have done secret deals under the table. And if as part of the negotiations for Brexit, there is a deal that if in 5 to 10, 15 years' time, there is a border poll and that the majority of the people in the north of Ireland decide they want to become part of the south. And a wee caveat of that there, that is that the EU will financially support that there. The British government will let us go. We have been, I think at the height of the troubles, we were costing the British Westminster £7 billion per year.
Do you want the chance to vote, Jim, for a United Ireland?
I hate this rhetoric from the DUP about about Northern Ireland is sovereign part of the United Kingdom. That's all good and well, but there's people in the north of Ireland who are of a different thought and view as to the DUP. So people should be given the right. We live in a democracy. People should be given the right to vote. And if the vote happens and they don't get it, that's fair enough. But Lady Sylvia Herman has to be commended because I'm telling you now, as clear as night follows day, it's going to happen. And the only reason...
You want it to happen, Jim.
Of course I do.
And can I just ask why you want it, why it's important to you and why you want to have your say?
It's it's important to me because the control, like you listen to Arlene Foster, the disrespect that woman has for all over this, the North of Ireland. There's wee boys and girls going to school and they're learning Irish and they're very happy wee children and it's fantastic. But the disrespect that woman has shown to the Catholic Maximus community of the North of Ireland over this past 18 months.
Oh, I'm sure Arlene would disagree with saying she's disrespectful.
Listen, hold on. Let me address that there.
She did go to some Irish-speaking schools as well.
And feeding the crocodiles, no Irish language under my watch. She took £50,000, a measly grant for youngsters to learn Irish. So there has been disrespect shown there. Now, she has tried to pull that back by going to a few Irish schools, and that has to be commended, because obviously Nigel Dodds, who is the official leader of the DUP, has told her...
He is not the official leader of the DUP.
Listen, everyone knows that Arlene Foster is only a figurehead. Nigel Dodds is calling the shots. The woman opens her mouth and she's a walking car crash for the upper echelon of the DUP.
Okay, well, let's just bring in Sam at this point just to react to that. Sam, your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, certainly there's a power shift within the DUP, which is just the real politique of power moving to Westminster. If you don't have Stormont, but you do have king making power in Westminster, that is just what will happen. There's no shock at that. But I think that there's a sense in which sometimes it's overwrought in saying that the DUP's Westminster party is radically different to what those in Stormont think. I think across the DUP there is broadly at the moment for the most part a united front on the issue of, for instance, not going back into Stormont. That sort of big picture issue they are pretty united on.
Let's go to Nick in Lisburn. Good morning, Nick.
Morning, Denny. Yeah, I mean, what I wanted to say was I think the DUP have made the biggest blunder in the history of unionism. They've actually made a united Ireland more likely. And the reason I say that is because, you know, if you're a moderate nationalist, the border effectively doesn't exist while we're in the EU. Yeah, you might sort of think, oh, a united Ireland would be nice. But you know that probably financially you're better off. And, you know, culturally it's okay. There isn't any hassle. And also for small unionists as well, like myself, I ask myself, do I want to be in a UK that has left the EU, that is isolationist, that is basically being held in ransom by a bunch of right-wing xenophobes in the Conservative Party, or do I want to be in a united Ireland that is part of the EU? And, you know, that is a decision that maybe before Brexit came along, I would have thought, yeah,
how would you vote, Nick? How would you vote?
What, so this is that's a very good question. How would I vote? The answer is, I don't know. And the reason why I don't know is because I don't know what the proposed outcome of this united Ireland would be. So it's exactly the same as Brexit. You would be asking people to vote for something and they don't know what they're going to get. So you want to have a couple of years of discussion about the possibilities.
But just to clarify, would you like the chance to vote? So do you think there should be a poll?
I think there should be a poll if we end up with a hard border, which is inevitable. But I don't think we should have a poll unless we have a valid, rational, balanced discussion and some information that people on both sides of the border can vote on.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, Nick. Thank you.
You don't know what you're getting.
Thanks, okay. Nick. Alison, it's important to remember that for many, a united Ireland is not necessarily about money. It's not about finances, and some would want it at any cost. So we kind of forget that sometimes.
There are people on both sides who, regardless of whether they were economically worse off, of whether they were going to lose their home, their job, they would still vote either to remain with the UK or for united Ireland, because ideologically that's what their heart tells them, that's what they feel. And we know that, and we know that's always been the case. But what we're now talking about is a change in economic circumstances. So the fact that Brexit is going to change all our lives, we don't know what the border's going to look like, we don't know if economically we're going to be better off. Most people who don't feel that really strong pull towards their, you know, what their flag says either way, will be driven by economics, and they'll be driven by the very things people who were phoning up there were saying, about what way will the health service look, what way will the education look, what way will my wages look, will I be able to balance my books and my home at the end of the day, but also socially, what kind of a place is it that I'm going to be living in? And socially, we're living in a very backward place at the minute. We've seen that 10 years of devolution didn't change that, and we didn't have modernisation, and we're not in line with either the Republic or with the UK in relation to social issues. So therefore, a lot of people will be thinking that. And I think that where unionism needs to remember is young people and young unionists. they want to live in a place that's progressive and modern as well. So they need to take into consideration what they think and what kind of a place they want to live in. So a lot of it will come down to money. A lot of it will come down to the social circumstances you live in. But yeah, I would say there's people on either side, on both the unionist and nationalist side, who will vote with their heart, regardless of what way that would leave them economically.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Philip in Belfast. Good morning, Philip.
Morning, Vinny. How are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Vinny, I don't have much of a point, only a comment. I think there should be a border poll because I don't think there's any fear in it, you know.
What do you think
would out what the people of Northern Ireland would think.
What do you think the outcome would be, Philip? What do you think the result would be?
I don't know. I remember saying to a fellow, Vinny, he says that this, I would wipe out the Sinn Féin if the border poll went for stay within Northern Ireland, UK, you know.
And how would you vote, Philip?
I'm not too sure. I never really thought about it. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion over the border poll for years. It would be interesting
and what,
to have it.
What different issues would be important to you when you're considering this, say, if the poll was going to happen? What would you want to know?
Vinny, I'm not 100% sure what way it would go, because there's no way of knowing, really. Sure, there's not, like, what would happen if it went United Ireland, or obviously it stays Northern Ireland, you know. So.
Okay. All right, Philip, thank you. Mark in Lisburn. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Vinny.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Vinny, I recall I was on the radio last week about John Taylor's remarks, and I did warn that this question of a border poll was going to resurface. I do believe that we're entering a perfect storm of politics in Northern Ireland.
And what do you think will happen next? What do you want to happen next?
Well, a border poll can be very, very dangerous. I would suggest those people who are calling for a border poll don't release a monster that could be not under their control anymore in regards to politics in Northern Ireland, because this is a border poll that's going to be very, very divisive. We have Brexit still to be debated. Your previous caller just mentioned Brexit. The questions that Brexit has raised is going to be nothing compared to the questions of the United Ireland. And something that unionism is failing to grasp here is that we are in very dangerous and perilous times with our link to the United Kingdom. The DUP, a number of years ago and quite recently as last year, said that the union's never been safer. And again, I would reiterate what I said last week in your programme, is that we constantly hear this, border poll, United Ireland, United Ireland. I haven't heard things like, I would suggest this, what about the Republic of Ireland rejoining the British Commonwealth? Now, why are these questions not being posed to the Republic of Ireland? You know, can you imagine if there was a border poll in the morning, if there was 51% of people wanting to go into United Ireland, what does the 49% of unionism want out of United Ireland? It's going to take maybe 30, 40, 50 years just to conclude meetings and talks about going into United Ireland. It's just not feasible at this time.
Sam McBride, there's the other element in terms of if it did happen, say, if, as Mark said, if it happened tomorrow, would that be the end of it if the result was to remain in the UK, or would this be something that could return on a cycle of every 5, 6, 10, 15 years?
It certainly wouldn't be the end of it. Under the agreement, I think it's a 7-year window whereby you cannot hold a poll for another 7 years, but there would be an expectation, I think, if it was at all close within republicanism, that at that 7-year period there would be another poll. It wouldn't be something which was set in stone. It's not written into the legislation that it must happen at those intervals. But
sure, but if it did, where would that stop? Would that, and could that create more tension, more uncertainty, if this became almost a cycle because the numbers are so tight?
Well, I think that is the difficulty from the point of view of the leadership of unionism. Arlene Foster, some people will recall, several years ago floated the idea of, as she thought, calling Sinn Féin's bluff by backing a border poll. She very quickly stepped back from that once Peter Robinson said that was something he didn't think was wise. And one of the things which I think was at the back of their minds at that point was this sense that even though they believed unionism at that point, and of course that was a very different situation to where we are now, but they believed at that point unionism would triumph so conclusively that it would put the issue to bed. But there were other people within the DUP and within wider unionism who looked at that and thought, well, no, even if it's remotely within touching distance, and looking at the example of Scotland, where the SNP going into the referendum really had very little hope. But actually, during the campaign, all sorts of things happened. I think there was a sense of concern there that it would set off a series of events that would be, at the very least, destabilising, even if unionism didn't ultimately lose.
Okay, Sam McBride and Alison Morris, thank you very much for joining us this morning. If you have just tuned in, we're talking about a border poll on unity. Is it now more likely than ever? According to the Unionist MP, Lady Herman, it is. This is what she told Gareth Gordon on The View last night.
In your opinion, is Brexit imperiling the union?
I am worried about the long-term consequences of Brexit. In my lifetime, I never thought that I would see a border poll. I am now convinced that I probably will see a border poll.
Arlene Foster has said if there was a united Ireland, she would probably leave Northern Ireland. Would you leave?
I'd be staying. I love this country. I've always loved this country. Always loved this country. Jack's buried here, my sister's buried here, my father's buried here, my mother's buried here. I will be buried in the land that I love. I'm not leaving.
Even if it was ruled by Dublin?
Even if it was ruled by Dublin.